Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in. Hey, everybody, welcome back. And today, our topic is about those guiding principles in your life, whether you know them or not, the way that you live, the code you live by. Some people call them values, and we want to dig into it. So welcome.
Welcome.
So welcome,
Welcome.
welcome. So why do we want to talk about this topic? Why did we put it on our list?
I love values. I love values. I really love values.
Okay, so that's good. We have a song now. We have a jingle. What makes you love values, Stel?
I love values. You know, there's so many different, well, the first time I heard about them, actually, I bought my practice, and my brother's a MBA business guy, and he says, oh, we need to put mission and vision and values on your wall. And I thought, why do I need to put words on the wall? It made no sense. But then once they were elicited, and it's something that's deep within you that drives behavior for all of us, right? And it depends on our environment and what's important to us and, you know, who we are, that aligns with what we believe, right? So beliefs and values are deep-rooted things. And once I elicited mine and I did put them on the wall, everything changed, right? Because then it allowed not just me to know what they are in terms of what the business stood for, but also everybody in the office. That's how it started. And then, as you both know, I've done a lot of personal development courses, and it's rare that a values exercise isn't in there. And then once I started using values in my own personal coaching and to see the impact that it made on people and what drove their life, and to see it shift, if there was a positive influence that that was involved in their like personal development and like value. I love values. Like, yeah. I'll start there, but it's
I love
values
too. I think in a world where there's so much coming at us all the time, and it's distraction, it's, you know, work, it's family, it's priorities, like all of these things sort of coming at us. If you have some values that guide you and that you think are important, it makes it easier to make decisions and sort of move through life as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we have them whether we decide on them or not, right? And you know, we go through exercises with people that you know, take clues from your life to figure out what your values are, because it can feel like overwhelming. Just like when we talk about purpose and things like that, it's like, oh, what is my purpose? That's a big question. And like, I know business leaders who spent like hundreds of hours on trying to determine the purpose. You know, values is a whole other thing. And oftentimes they're, you know, and we can talk about personal values and business values and, you know, how those things align if you're the business owner and leader. But oftentimes people will pick things that they think are like how to be a good person. And that's good, like honesty, integrity, and things like that. But I really like to like ask people questions around like, how do you live your life? Like, look at your week and where are you spending your time? What is important to you? What is uncompromisable? Like for me, I will do some physical activity every single day, no matter what, doesn't matter where I am in the world. Maybe I have to be pretty sick or like physically on a plane for 24 hours if I'm not going to exercise, right? So that just tells me that physical health and being active is one of my values. For sure it is. So things like that. Or, you know, people will say family, but do they actually spend any time with their family? You know, and so is family all that important? Or I don't know, what are some other ones that you've heard people have?
Integrity, honesty.
Yeah, which,
right?
I like integrity and honesty. It just wouldn't be the first things I would say.
Trust, Mr. Trust.
Oh yes, trust. Yeah, that's a good one.
Hey, so just a thought, right? As you've been discussing this, you can have also bad values, right? You, it's not about having just good value doesn't mean that you are, you know, I'm a person with high values or lots of values, that you are necessarily a good person. You know, you can be a person of strong integrity, but you could also be a murderer. You just say you're going to murder somebody and go ahead and do it. So you actually does what they say they're going to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for me, I think values is the ingredients of who you are. And it's kind of, you know, they always say, it's what you're doing behind the scene that matters. It's who you are behind the scenes, you're behind closed doors. And I think that's kind of, you know, if it's character or if it's values, but it's what is your activity? What are you doing that ultimately creates the results? Because what you do in your daily habits ultimately creates who you are as a person. And so I think the values is the daily habits of what you do. So, you know, if you're somebody who one of your values is I want to be a healthy, active person, well, there's no point saying that if then you don't go down the gym and you eat pizza every night.
Totally. In fact, if you do the opposite, if you sit on the couch and you eat pizza every night, and you're actually saying I don't value my health. Like one of your values is not physical health and well-being. You know, you value sitting around more than you value being active. So it is. That's a great point. We often talk about intentional values.
And that's okay. There's no problem with. I mean, who doesn't love sitting around doing nothing, having pizza, and watching a movie on the couch?
I might do that tonight, actually. Yeah, maybe not the pizza. Sitting around though, for sure.
I guess because we, you know, it's called meaningful mischief, is because we're trying to find, you know, meaning and purpose and values. And I think for anyone that's listening is trying to look at, you know, how do I find out what it is that's important to me? How do I try and, you know, take simple steps to improve my purpose and my mission and where I'm heading? And I think that, you know, not ideally everyone would reverse engineer what it is that they're trying to achieve. So you look at, okay, so what are my goals? What is it I'm trying to achieve in life? Whether or not it's relationships, whether or not it's my business or it's the company that I work for or the money that I'm trying to achieve. And then you reverse engineer that. So you look at, okay, so what are my daily habits and what can I do to take simple steps to get to that goal and achieve that goal? And I think that probably comes back then to what are my values, and are my values in line with where I'm heading and what my kind of future self, my future goals look like.
I love that. You know why? So when I work with companies and help them shape their story of their purpose and their vision and all of that, we do a values exercise. Oftentimes the values are very generic things that are like, and you know, we want all companies to be honest and have integrity and all that stuff. So I'm not saying those things are bad, although there are lots of companies that have those posted on the wall who are not. I think Enron was one of them way back in the day. But it's really about what actions and behaviors do you need to employ individually for a personal goal and mission, or as a company to achieve the mission. And that's going to direct, you know, a different set of behaviors that you want to draw out 100%. Like, you know, if you're trying to disrupt an industry and change how everybody does something, like values that say honesty, integrity, et cetera, aren't going to help guide that. Of course, you want honest people with integrity working in the company, but you want disruptive thinkers. You want people who are bold, who go against the status quo. So it really does speak to like that guideline for if we're going here, these are the behaviors, and you only have like five. You can't have, you know, even three would be better, right? You can only have a handful. So you can't like to be really clear about what things you want to achieve, and then the behaviors, and you know, especially when you're guiding a group of people. I have a story. Can I tell a story?
No.
Okay. So I'm gonna tell it anyway.
Otherwise, this session is gonna come to an end. There's nothing else to talk about. I'll go for it.
I guess that's true. Okay.
Nothing for us to talk about between the three of us. Yeah.
So when it comes to my personal values, so we've all started companies and we have company values, and 100% the company values that I mean, I created them when I started the company and I believe in them. And I, you know, we attract people based on them. And if they hadn't really been thinking about it, we, you know, live it all the time. So like curiosity, positivity, insight, like insightful action, you know, so do the right things. Don't just do the right things well. Don't just do things, you know what I mean? But when it comes to my personal values, it's evolving because I'm thinking more and more about the way I live and what I get fired up about and all that. And one of them I'm realizing is, and maybe this is why I started a company, but I think one of my personal values, maybe the first one, is freedom, like freedom to be independent. I'm realizing as I move through my life in the world that as I look around, and even as we create our company culture, freedom, flexibility. I don't want to, count how many minutes you're in the chair or know where you are. I just want you to, manage your life and your outcomes, right? So freedom's one of them. But the story I have to tell is I was away for a girls' weekend, just this last weekend, and a bunch of, people went to a winery. I stayed back, but they went to a winery and they came back. And there are these glasses sitting on the counter. I'm like, where are those glasses? And they had like, it was like there was like a fall cocktail or whatever at this winery. And they're like, oh, well, so and so wanted us to take the glasses. And I was like, oh. So they each stole a glass. And they said, well, we went to the gift shop to buy the glasses and they were super expensive. So I was like, not going to buy the glasses. And then I go and look for the glasses online and they were Rydell glasses. They're pretty nice wine glasses, right? And I went online and saw that, it cost this much for four of them, and that seemed like a lot. So let's just take them. It's like, I was like, that's interesting. Like in my world, I was like completely affronted by it. I was like, does anybody here ever try to run a restaurant? Like it's a cost management business. Like, and then people are like, why? Well, that boggles my mind because it's so expensive to go out to eat and stuff. I'm like, listen. Labor, food, et cetera. Like, has anybody started a business? Like, and so I kept, well, I mean, it wasn't my decision whether they stole the glasses or not, but I couldn't let it go. Like, the whole weekend, I was like, and these poor people who are trying to make a winery in Ontario run.
And
Well,
now
and I
they've got
could,
the prices up to cover the cost of the glasses.
to cover the, and like, why does somebody, and I hope these are all like my close girlfriends, actually, which is really funny, but, in my world, I'm like, why do you think you deserve it? Because it costs more than you thought it should. And then they were like, well, when we buy wine there, we're spending like it's 100% markup on the wine if you bought, whatever. And so they're like
Justified.
justifying this. And none of these people need to steal something. It absolutely, we're talking about a hoity-toity wine glass that they just had a perception of the value. So anyway, it made it. And I mean, I'm certain I stole packs of gum and stuff like that when I was a kid. So I'm not saying I've always had this perfect line, but for me, I'm like, oh, I would not have done that. And now I know that I won't be a thief. Anyway, it was funny though, that like even at this age, when your values kind of hit you in the face.
So here's a question for you. I'm sorry to put you on the spot. I mean, obviously,
Oh,
this is.
here we go. Uh-oh.
So now you know they have a different type of values to you
Yeah.
that change the way that you spend time with them or you view
See
them.
them.
Well, probably not the spending time. I mean, I've spent tons of time with these folks over years and I love them all. But it does put in my head, I'm like, that's so interesting that nobody had, like, that no one had that kind of barometer. And I do. Like, I just was like, I just wouldn't do that to a business. So I
Yeah.
do have kind of a thing in the back of my head, but then they could be looking at me going, what's the big deal, Mary? Like everybody expects this type of thing. And that's why there's so much margin built into the menu prices and stuff like that. So they could look at me like I'm the doofus as well.
Yeah.
Well, now I have a question for you.
Okay.
You think that their values are always there, or do you think that your values have shifted that you see those values? You understand? It's like, have you
Yes.
grown and
I think that's a great question because you think a lot of times people would think values are fixed, that I am who I am. But like, yeah, maybe 10 years ago, I wouldn't have even noticed or cared or wouldn't have even sort of tuned into it. I totally think that's true. And then my feelings about freedom now that I run a business and I'm dialed into the life I want to create for myself, but also our culture and our team. I didn't have freedom at the forefront 15 years ago. Like I wouldn't have named it. Absolutely. So I do think it shifts. How about you?
yeah, the so what comes to me or comes to mind, there's a course that I did with John DeMartini.
Okay.
And he basically asked us the question, like, what do you value, right? And he's going around the room and he's, you know, and he said to one person, I can't remember, like, you're fantasizing, right? That's not what you value. And the reason he said it, back to what, you know, James, what you said, right? Like, can the values be good or bad? He basically said that what you value is what you focus on, right? So an alcoholic values alcohol.
Oh, yeah, so
Okay,
true.
because you know what you spend your time doing, what you spend time thinking about, you know, all what you spend your money on, what you know, what do you read about most, if you read at all these things trigger, Mary, what you're saying in terms of what you value, right? It's you see the behavior, the frequency of the behavior, and then you say, okay, that's what you value. The other thing is, in terms of the values, you have your general values in terms of personal. But you also have values in categories in life. And what's triggered now with you is what do you value in friendship?
Right.
Okay. And what you valued in friendship today is probably totally different than what you would have valued when you were like 17, 18.
Totally. I was
Right?
probably stealing things at 17, 18 with
Yeah.
my friends. I don't know.
Now, the one thing I
Yeah.
do notice a lot when I'm working with clients is that the number one value typically is always going to be the value. So, you know, in a case like yours, Mary, I'd question if you've always had freedom as the number one value, right? And you just said it, like you didn't name it, but the behavior was probably always in that space. And
Yeah.
the question is it freedom in relationship or is it freedom as an entrepreneur in business? Because in
I think,
career,
yeah.
right?
It's all maybe all those things. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I want to be able, like, I want to be able to choose. I want to have the freedom of choice around time, relationship. I mean, it well, time, relationship, finance, like all of that. I want to have the freedom to make those choices.
Well, the next question I'd have is why? Like, which you know, you and I both love the why question. What's your why? But usually it's like, okay, for what purpose is it that you want that freedom, right? Because now if you just say freedom, it's like, well, I don't want to do this, I'm just gonna run away. It's like, no, that's not what it is. Right, it's what's the purpose of why you want to be free, and then all everything starts linking in terms of, you know, what's your mission, what's your personal mission, what is it that you what drives you, and it's like, okay, I'm going to use the value of freedom to get there,
Dude, that's a good question. We could go deep on that. I
and
have
then
some answers.
you experience life that you focus on, so then you everything that your values and everything then just becomes
Yeah.
around.
Yeah. And then the other thing,
Yeah.
when you know, when you mentioned about working out, like a lot of people say, I want to work out, I want to work out, or you know, I value health, right? But they don't work out. Then the question is, well, they're aware that they want to value the like health. Okay, so why is it that people just can't go to the gym, especially in January when they set their New Year's resolution, and it dwindles. It you know, for the most people, it's like, okay, I'm gonna do this, but it never happens. Now the question is, why does that happen? Because if you focus on, you can say, well, I'll just keep working out, right? And then it becomes a value of health. So why is it that it dwindles? If it's a value and you want to focus on it, what's right? And the reason that happens is values and beliefs are the most one of the most deeply unconscious things that run the behavior inside of you. Okay, so unless you change that program and then really feel the importance of what it is or the purpose of why you want to do it, then the value starts becoming a thing. Okay, and then it becomes a conscious behavior. Then you start feeling good with the energy of going to the gym and now you're integrated. Now it becomes a value. Now you've just shifted your value system and you can see the behavior and it's you're in integrity with what you believe now. Okay, but that's an example of the depth of what it is.
It's funny
Oh,
because you
and
asked
the
that
other thing,
question.
one more thing, the reason I love be, like even hanging around with you guys is because as you start becoming aware of what's important to you, you start realizing other people that are in alignment with what you believe too, right? And then, you know, right from the get-go with both of you, I'm super comfortable where it's just like I've known you guys for years, right? You meet people and you're like, wow, it's like I've known them for years. You know,
Well, we
why does that
have
happen?
12,000 years
Yeah,
apparently.
I Oh
That's
boy.
a whole other episode
Yeah,
on the lives before this life and all of that. That'll
but
be
though, Stel,
interesting.
just on that, and I want to just say a quick quote that I from Elon Musk, because he's always said the party I used to belong to doesn't include me anymore.
Oh, I like
Yeah, that's quite a
that.
famous, because that's a bit like what you're saying, Mary, and you know, people that we grew up with, or you know, so he's
Yeah.
very about, you know, evolving and growing and growing and growing. So the party I used to belong to doesn't include me anymore, which I always think
I
is a super
like
cool.
that.
But when, you know, when we're talking about the whys, and obviously we go deep into this, right? Because we need to tap into that to help us lock on, you know, our mission and where we want to go. Because there's going to be times when life throws challenges at us, and it's always easy to get off the boat, you know, and but we need to, you know, hold on tight. And when we're really locked on our why, no matter what, you know, life throws at us, we can really focus on achieving that goal. But as we know still from on the work that we've done and with Mary in our conversations, that a lot of it is happening subconsciously, because it goes back to the way that we were raised and our parents and the things that have happened to us in our early age, siblings, no siblings, mother, father, and any kind of mishaps, or often fear, or things that has caused us to then potentially have a role model or an idea of what life should look like. And that's where, for me, when I was growing up, there was people that showed up, and we've done work on this style when we've done our LBM and different things, and there's people that showed up for me that they are a role model. I don't really know why they are, but somebody that inspires me, or something inspires me, and that then becomes my, you know, part of my why. It becomes my character, becomes my part of my values, my missions. And for me, freedom as well is a big part of it. It has to be, otherwise we wouldn't have decided to stupidly become entrepreneurs and took
And be
that
happy about
But you know, that comes from my upbringing and what I experienced and life that I grew into. And I think it's important to do work and understand our why, but also go back even further. And this is the work that, and maybe you can share, we can talk about this in other podcasts, but this is where Stell comes into his own, because I really understood my journey of where I began and who and why I am who I am. And I don't really get much of a choice on it. It is as a result of things that have happened in my life, which has developed me as this person. And then now, you know, I have a target to aim at and a reason why. But it's.
Can you share? I love that idea because we often have a hard time looking inward and naming things. And so I like the idea of using your life and stories from your life as signals. They're like a mirror for what matters to you and the person you admire. And you say you admire someone, and someone else might have a completely different view of that person. That doesn't matter. It's the way that you see that person. And the qualities you see in them, it's kind of like, what would so and so do here? Like you're using that person as a guideline. And that's because that value lives inside you. You just don't know to name it. So you're seeing it in someone else. So who was a person for you? And what are the characteristics that you admire?
Is that to me or to Stella?
Well, it was to you because you were
To
saying
you.
you'd gone
But
back, and I was just.
there's a few people, because you pull upon it depending on what the situation demands, right? So there's people like, obviously I grew up doing golf, so there was like Tiger Woods for his, you know, relentless, his habits, he didn't drink, he was the hardest worker, you know, he did all of the things and took everything to a new level. So his habits around trying to be, you know, the best person he could in the sport, that was an inspiration, you know, for me. Also my dad growing up, because he was a hard worker and he was always out, trying to do everything to protect and take care of the family. And then there's other people that I use depending on, you know, if they were a good father, you know, to the kids, and you know, they were good at asking questions, and they were compassionate, or a good loving person, or they were a good leader, or so that there's, and it doesn't always have to be, for me, be real. It can be somebody in a movie that
100%.
inspired me, as part of, okay, that character that's shown up there, I would love to be that person, and internally it ticks the boxes because of things that have happened to me in the past.
I love that. That's such an easy way for people, anybody listening, to think like, what are my values? Well, think about three people you admire and why you admire them, and those are good signals to you, right? Without having to do,
Well, I'm gonna add one more thing. Two more things, actually. Okay, so both of you said freedom, and to me, it's not a value for me. But my question now is, what does freedom mean to you? Because chances are it has a different meaning.
Oh, like we have different associations with the word
It's a
freedom?
different association for, with the word like freedom, right? If I hear freedom
Yeah.
and I'm like, okay, what are you running away from?
Yeah. True.
Right? And then you guys are like, I have freedom because it's going to give me the ability to make an impact and all these other things, right?
Totally,
So,
yeah.
you know, and Mary, this goes back to you in terms of the meaning of something that's not tangible to make it this tangible thing, right? And you know, especially with what you said, it's like, look, you're going to notice it in someone else because you have it, right? And it's interesting because I mean, I attended a DeMartini course. It was actually a crazy story. I'm going to say it anyway. So I'm lecturing at our association meeting, and you know, like I'm prepping and you know, I'm getting ready to go to the green room, right? Like an hour before, and I'm in the main lobby of the hotel, and Dr. John DeMartini, I don't know if you guys know him, but he's a big personal development guy, right? Walks right past me. And I'm like, what the? You know, he goes to the bathroom. And I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna say wait, go to the bathroom, say hi to this guy. And I had to
Yeah.
go. So I went, I did my lecture because I had two lectures. One was that day that I saw him, I think it was the Friday, and then the other one was at Sunday at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then I went to check in, and one of my patients was there. And she says, oh, what are you doing here? I said, I'm lecturing. Like, what are you doing here? She goes, well, I'm here with John DeMartini. I'm basically his right-hand man. We run the course. I go, in Canada, here in Toronto? She goes, yeah. And I go, holy cow. Like, and she goes, you want to meet him? I said, of course. So then she said, I'll text you. So I went in, I met him. And then he offered me to stay in the course. And it was his version of a breakthrough, right? And you know, it was amazing. One of the questions that he asked while you're going through this process is, who are the three people that you admire? But he also said, who are the three people that you despise? Oof.
Which I think is that's a great to get a full 360.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then the interesting thing in the process is he said, if you see it, means you have it. If you deny it, you're living a fantasy. Right. But it gives you an external ability to say, okay, what is it that's important to me? Now, what happens if you say, okay, think about the things that you admire. And the reason he says it's a fantasy is he goes, okay, think of 50 of them. I don't remember the exact order. But then he said, okay, but think of the 50 thing. So what's the one? So 50 situations, sir. Think of 50 situations where you have this trait that you see, right? Like,
That's a lot
you
of
know,
situations.
but it's in order for you to own it because now
Yeah,
you're
okay.
going, huh? And
Yeah.
then he says, think of 50 situations where you experience the opposite of that. Okay. Then he says, think of 50 situations where you use that trait and it wasn't to the benefit of the other person. Right. So he's mixing it all up to say, ultimately, it's all you. And once you integrate those two things, you understand who you are and what you value, really what you value. Right. And it was a beautiful process to go through. And again, like with any entrepreneur, okay, I don't care who it is, you know, you have to, despite fear, you know, you're doing things on your own, you're creating things that maybe haven't been created before. Just the process of being an entrepreneur, I think, is automatically going to shift your values. Automatic. Okay. Or if you've already realized what they are, they drive the behavior that then drives the success as an entrepreneur.
I was the
Okay.
only entrepreneur in the girls' weekend, as an
There,
example. Like maybe
yeah.
I'm a little bit like, hey, you know, running a business is hard. You know, cost management is an issue. I mean, I know a little bit about restaurant management and stuff like that and hospitality. So maybe like I am the only one who took that angle,
Yeah,
which is interesting. Yeah.
it's that's why I asked the question, did you grow or is it right?
Yeah.
Because you've changed. I mean, once you decide to be an entrepreneur, to me, you're taking the growth path, you know.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I'm in San Diego. I'm going to be on stage in a few hours anyways,
Yeah.
and I was looking over my notes yesterday, and have you guys ever read the book Mindset by Carol Dweck?
Yeah.
So it describes the difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. And she basically says that when you're working with kids, the important thing is to focus on not on the results, right? On effort. Praise on effort, not results. And then she goes through what are the things that you need to realize in order to have this growth mindset, right? Because one of our values in the office is growth and transformation, right? And it's a whole different way of looking at things, in terms of who do I need to be, okay? Or what values do I need to basically be aware of in order to then allow me to either live my why or make an impact or do what I need to do in this world. But I'm excited because it's not simple when you say, growth, right? Because the environment needs to be conducive. There has to be a way for there. It's basically having the right conditions for the growth to occur, right? So here's a situation with your friends, Mary, and it's like, if growth is something
I'm
that's
sure
important
some
to
of
you
them
as a
are going to
mindset,
listen to this.
that's okay. But you know what? It's the reason why I'm saying it. It doesn't take away from the friendship piece, right? Because look, if your number one value in friendship is love, and you guys love each other, that supersedes all the other stuff that we're talking about here. Because of like, one thing that 17-year-old version of your friend came up and said, "Let's do something crazy and like, steal a glass,"
Totally. It was like a
because it was
gag kind of thing.
probably like a gag going, "Oh my God, look, we did it."
I'm
It was
thinking
like
we
the
can get
fact
away
that
with
Gundam was
this
still
kind
back
of thing.
then. "I love you guys. This brings me back such amazing memories and so meaningful, blah, blah, blah." Right? So that's why
Token from
the
the
bigger
weekend or
picture
whatever.
needs to be put in place, right? Because that's how I see it. You say the story, I'm like, okay, there's these cute little 17 inner child 17-year-olds going, "I stole the glass."
I think that's totally what
Right?
it was.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But
Yeah.
knowing
And then, I mean, I
you,
wasn't
okay,
there as
knowing
well.
you, what's that?
I wasn't with them. So I wasn't caught up in the moment. I was just observing it afterwards, too.
Knowing you, I can almost predict what they're like, because I mean, their values need to be, again, love. You exude the energy of love. I mean, it's like you walk into a room and then, we're having a conversation with Strategic Coach, and everybody's talking about Mary and the impact that Mary's had in their life.
This is
So
nice.
it exudes love. And then I can imagine you have these three friends that, this winery. And I can already see the way you are, all of you going, "I love you guys so much," or but maybe not love, but just the you know what I mean? So anyways, that's
They're wonderful people, top to bottom. And we just had this, it was such a standout thing for me because I just couldn't get why they were doing it, you know?
I
And so,
can't believe they stole it.
but and I
Anyway,
could, you know what's
let's
so f oh, go ahead, James.
no, I was just gonna say, because I think we've come up with some great kind of ingredient. I mean, I've learned some things in this last 45 minutes as well, but I think some takeaways of how to try to identify maybe some values for someone who's listening might be, I thought that was great what you said, Stel. What are who are the three people that inspire you, and what are the three things that you really dislike? Maybe to try and think about your deeper why. And are the habits that you are doing on a daily basis aligned with, the person that you want to become in the future? I think is anything else that you think, someone listening can think about or work on to try and identify?
I have a simple method. Mary, you do it in your process because I experienced it. But what would you say to a listener that, just to start the process of?
I think there's two things I would say that and I use the who do you admire as an example all the time. But looking at how you spend your days and a few things like where do you spend your time and attention? Like this is sort of like what's your current programming? And it doesn't mean you can't, change your programming, but like have a look at what your current programming is, how you spend your days, like what's in your calendar. What do you surround yourself with in terms of information and people? Like, what are you watching on TV? What's in your social media feed? What are the topics that, like if you're out at dinner with people and you're kind of like, this is like small talk, talking about sports and the weather, and then something comes up and you lean in and you're like, oh, well, I could talk about this for hours. Like, that's a good signal to observing your own ways would be one. And then, Stell, I really liked what you said to build off of what James said about what you said. If like, physical activity isn't it, you say it's important to you, your health is important to you, but then you don't live up to that behavior. It doesn't guide how you spend your time and stuff like that. You do need to go deeper and connect to a deeper value, not just in your head, oh, I should be doing this because it's January and everybody eats healthy in January. But why, like the deeper why of it, so that it's rooted in your DNA. I mean, I used to ask myself when I started running, like, is this day going to get better or worse if I run or if I don't? And I'm like, well, 100% of days are better when I exercise. So then I don't even have to ask myself that question anymore. I just know my mood is better, my attitude, everything I do is better, So it's the look at your life as a signal for what your patterns are. And if you want to change the patterns, do the work to dig deep to figure out how do I reconnect the wiring from what's going on deep inside to what I want to do on the outside.
So the simple one that I would say is, think of either, you can even do a general like life, right? And you say, okay, what's important to you about life? Okay, or like in terms of personal values, you could say, okay, what's important to you? And that's it. Just ask that question. Okay, now what happens? As soon as you ask the question, you're going to come up with values that are coming up, because again, they're coming up for you because it's internal. Okay, ask the question three times to yourself. Okay, what's important to you? Or in this case, like if I say to you, Mary, what's important to you about friendship? Do, 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 do. What
Do you know
else?
what? Yeah, that's
Do,
funny.
do, do,
Okay. I
do,
do
do.
five
What
whys
else?
for this.
What's that?
Yeah. I do the five whys for this because it's like you get the sort of superficial answer first, and then you're like, why is friendship important? Then
Exactly.
okay, then what, friendship is important so I can feel connected to people. Why is it important to be connected to
Exactly.
people? Well, because then I feel fulfilled, like I matter. Why is it important to feel like you matter so that something in my life has meaning? Why is it important for life to have meaning? Like, so you can kind of get to the heart. Like that's the five whys is root cause analysis, developed very simply by the Toyota production system. So Toyota developed it, and it's a helpful way to get from superficial to meat, which is I guess what you're saying,
Yeah, it's look, to keep it simple, it's exactly what I'm saying. But here's
eh?
another one more step. Okay. So now you have a list of all these values. Okay. And then, you start with the superficial ones on top. And then sometimes you'd be surprised. Sometimes the first one isn't as superficial as you think. It's actually the number one value. But here's the second step. Look at all of them and just pick your top three. Okay. And the reason is, once you start becoming aware of the top three, then it taproots into how they're connected and how those three then drive everything else. And the analogy I give people, it's like, okay, if somebody comes in with the red eye as an optometrist, I'm not just going to look at it, right? You ask question, 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 because what you're doing is picking up the three differential diagnoses. And most of the time it's the first, sometimes second, rarely it's the third, but you don't have to worry about all the other noise that's there. Right. So that at least starts the process of saying, what are my values? What are my top three values? And then, because there's so many people and ways and tools that somebody's really interested can then go deeper into the process and love them as much as we do.
That's right. Love it. Well, this was super fun,
Oh, one
everybody.
more. And the other thing, Mary,
Oh,
with no, with what you said in terms of, what do you spend your time on? What's on your social media feed? All these other things. The magic of threes. So three things that you focus on, three things that are on your feed, three things. Okay. And the
yeah.
reason is because it builds it like a horizontal. And then when you list them all, you start seeing the patterns. And then you could pick up the things that you actually value, right? Because you're going to see, read health and fitness magazines. I on my social media,
I
it's like
like this.
different forms of nutrition and health. You're going to start seeing the patterns. And then again, you're going to also start seeing the frequency of the patterns, which also helps hierarchy your values.
I
Love it.
agree. Awesome, guys.
Awesome.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Thanks.
And yeah, we'll see you all next time.
And I value both of you.
I love that too. Me too. Until next time, everybody.
And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram at meaningfulmischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.